You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, October 6, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're back from the road. I spent 25 hours driving 1,500 miles, tailing Kevin Sabet on the Oregon Marijuana Education Tour. Joining us here in the studio, we also have Wiz Calico stopping by. How you doing, Calico?
Quite well, my man. Glad to be back. Happy Monday to
you. Happy Monday to you. And starting, of course, tomorrow, we've got the Rick Steves tour that is taking place across Oregon. I get to do an exclusive sit-down interview with Rick Steves before the event tomorrow. So if you check out the Russ Melville Live channel, that's at rad-r.us/live420, you'll be able to catch that interview live. If you can't remember that, just go to the 420radio.org site, scroll all the way down, and you'll see the RB Live button that you can push. It'll take you right there. That's the channel I'll be using from now on when I'm out on the road and want to stream live from the 420 Radio Galaxy S4 phone. So it's Ustream kind of quality live, and 3G, 4G will depend on how good the picture is. But hey, that's live broadcast journalism for you, at least on a budget. So on today's show, we've got all sorts of highlights from the Oregon Marijuana Educational Tour. District Attorney Walter Beglau, he's the Marion County District Attorney. Marion County is the county where our state capital of Salem is located. He did an opening speech in Kaiser, Oregon for Kevin Sabet. You'll love to hear this one. He's got all sorts of interesting theories about marijuana and the people that use it. That's followed by three videos I've got. Now, I did some editing because Kevin's speech was 90 minutes long, and I know we don't have that kind of time, and he does do a lot of filibustering as well. So I trimmed out some of the fat and brought you today three videos, each of them about 4 or 5 minutes long, detailing some of the education that Kevin Sabet delivered here in the state of Oregon, which, by the way, over the weekend, my friend Jennifer Alexander unearthed an email attachment from our open records request to Clatsop County that discovered that Kevin Sabet gets paid $3,000 per city, folks. $3,000 per city to deliver those marijuana educational events. And that's plus his expenses. He gets the plane tickets, the rental cars, the food, and the hotels all expensed. So $21,000 Kevin made in 3 days in the state of Oregon. Now, remember, they were originally trying to get him here for 13 cities and pay for it with federal drug grant money. That would have been $39,000 for Kevin Sabet. Yeah, it's nice work if you can get it.
Not a bad gig.
We're going to unwrap exactly how it works, too, because he gets to recruit people to teach them how to get those grants to pay him. We've got the evidence of it, and as we go out through the rest of this week, we'll be unraveling that for you in a series of articles that you'll find at RadicalRust.com and at the Huffington Post. Also on today's show, we got Bacon Dan calling in with some more Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes music, and we have also got our 420 Radio News coming up right after this break, and Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us for our regular Monday Cannabis Q&A session. We got a new study out about marijuana and traumatic brain injury. We'll ask him about that and other medical and scientific information in the marijuana news. It's all coming up next on the Russ Melville Show.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. It was a nightmare scenario last May for one Southern Oregon woman. It's 4 in the morning and someone's trying to break in.
911 emergency. My ex-boyfriend is trying to break into my house. He put me in the hospital a few weeks ago and I've been trying to keep him away.
But because of budget cuts, the sheriff's office is only open during weekday business hours.
I don't have anybody to send out there. So if he comes inside the residence and assaults you, can you ask him to go away? Or
he did break into the home, and he did rape and choke this woman. Meanwhile, it was announced that the Oregon Sheriff's Association made a $100,000 donation to the campaign against Measure 91, the initiative to legalize marijuana. So there's enough money to protect people from marijuana, but not rapists? Measure 91 devotes 35% of tax revenues from marijuana sales to state and local police. Vote yes on Measure 91. A message from the Russ Belville Show, not endorsed or sponsored by the Measure 91 campaign. 420radio.org is proud to replay Professionals Against Prohibition with Jen Jackson from Raleigh, North Carolina. Meet today's most interesting activists in drug law reform and find out what creative means are being used to heighten public awareness of the need for drug law reform. Catch the replays Thursday at 10 Pacific.
Measure 91 regulates, legalizes, and taxes marijuana like beer and wine.
Oregon gets the benefit of going second. We can look at Washington, Colorado, and see what didn't work.
I mean, if we believe this is medicine, legalization needs to happen because there needs to be research, there needs to be development, and that needs to be not done in somebody's basement.
I don't think it is inevitable. Of all the marijuana measures, of which there have been at least a dozen, only one has passed, and that was the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act of 1998.
Once Oregon passes this, and a couple of other states do, I think you're just gonna see it sweep across the country, and it's gonna be done. We may lose a battle or two as we move forward, but the war is over.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, October 6, 2014. The New York Times has endorsed Alaska's, Washington, D.C.'s, and Oregon's measures to legalize recreational marijuana. Regarding Alaska, the Times writes, quote, "Ballot Measure 2 would mean that Alaskans could buy it from a store instead of resorting to the black market," end quote. Regarding Washington, D.C., the Times writes, quote, "Initiative 71 would repeal all criminal and civil penalties for personal possession of marijuana and allow limited private cultivation of the drug," end quote. Regarding Oregon, the Times writes, quote, "Measure 91 would also set a minimum age of 21. It would give the Oregon Liquor Control Commission the power to regulate marijuana as it does alcohol, and it would direct it to review tax rates regularly," end quote. Regarding all legalization initiatives, the Times writes, quote, "Decades of arresting people for buying, selling, and using marijuana have hurt more than helped society, and minority communities have been disproportionately affected by the harsh criminal penalties of prohibition," end quote. Protesters from the Mount Calvary Christian Center, led by Pastor Reggie Witherspoon, chanted "Shut it down" in front of Uncle Ike's, Seattle's second state-licensed marijuana retailer, on Sunday afternoon. At the rally, Witherspoon called for his parishioners to rally throughout the week against the legal weed shop. The church is located at 1412 23rd Avenue, just a few yards from Uncle Ike's at 2310 East Union Street. Uncle Ike's owner, Ian Eisenberg, said, quote, "They did what they had to do. I understand they don't like the law, but Washington overwhelmingly voted for Initiative 502, and no one contemplated a 1,000-foot rule from churches," end quote. Eisenberg was referring to the 1,000-foot buffer the state and the feds demand around schools, playgrounds, federally subsidized housing, and so forth.
The Dallas Morning News reported over the weekend that Dallas County will pilot a cite and release program next year, allowing those caught with less than 2 ounces of marijuana, a Class B misdemeanor, to avoid a trip to jail. Weed aficionados will still face up to a $2,000 fine and 180 days in jail, though most will get off with probation or be eligible for a diversion program. But Dallas County won't be out the $63 it takes to house an inmate for the day, and police won't have to waste precious hours ferrying potheads to jail. The county could have been doing this since 2007, when the legislature allowed local jurisdictions to implement cite and release, and Dallas Police Chief David Brown said earlier this year that he planned to continue locking up pot users until the legislature orders him to do otherwise. Only pot users with a valid state ID showing an address in Dallas County will be eligible for cite and release. People who went to the hospital with traumatic brain injuries were more likely to survive if they had marijuana in their system, according to a new published report by the Los Angeles Biomedical Research Institute. The study, published in the October edition of The American Surgeon, was drawn from the records of trauma patients admitted to County Harbor UCLA Medical Center near Torrance from 2012 through January 1, 2010 through 2012. LA Biomed, as it's commonly called, is an independent research institute on the campus of the hospital. Only 2.4% of those tested THC positive died in the hospital as a result of their injuries, while 11.5% of the patients who did not have THC in their system died. Quote, "This study was one of the first in a clinical setting to specifically associate THC use as an independent predictor of survival after traumatic brain injury," said David Plourad, an LA Biomed researcher, Harbor UCLA critical care physician, and co-author of the report titled "Effect of Marijuana Use on Outcomes in Traumatic Brain Injury." Jenny Storms is moving to Colorado. She doesn't yet have a job. Someone is offering her a place to stay while she's getting settled, and she's leaving behind a support system of friends. But the New Jersey resident feels the state's restrictive medical marijuana program has backed her into a corner, leaving her no choice but to seek the treatment her son needs across the country. Supply isn't necessarily the issue. It's more a problem with getting access to the drug in the proper form to treat seizures, Storms said. While New Jersey state law amended its program to allow expansion, it still hasn't approved what form the edibles are available, leaving parents to convert the oil and essentially breaking the law, she said. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, October 6, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away. And if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
Hi, I'm Richard Harris. I'm the former director of addictions and mental health for the state of Oregon. Drug treatment and prevention are woefully underfunded right now. Measure 91 will better fund drug treatment and prevention programs. Marijuana isn't going anywhere. We're not stopping it with the war on drugs. You have to remember that marijuana is a pretty benign drug. It doesn't have the usual dependency features of, say, heroin or alcohol abuse. Now, marijuana feeds drug cartels and fuels violence. We can crack down on that. Take the money from drug cartels and, by the law, spend it on law enforcement, treatment and education. Criminalizing marijuana is just no way to solve the problem. That's why treatment people like me are supporting Measure 91.
All right, folks, time for us to go behind the headlines, and we'll start with videos from the Kevin Sabet tour right now.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Brett here early in the morning, getting close to 8 a.m. in Madras, where the Oregon Marijuana Education Summit is taking place. I'll be streaming here live and recording as much as I can from the summit, also passing out flyers to folks to give them the facts that they won't be hearing in today's presentations by Kevin Sabet. We leave here and go to Kaiser later on this afternoon for his public meeting there. This one's a private one, so I don't know if I can get into it or not. I will give it a shot. But in the meantime, let's get this show started. Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here. It's Wednesday, October 1st, 2014, and it's about 8:10 a.m. We are at the Living Hope Christian Center, the site of the Oregon Marijuana Education Summit for 2014, starring Kevin Sabet, Eric Martin, and a whole bunch of people from the law enforcement and drug prevention and rehabilitation communities scrambling to find ways to maintain the status quo of adult marijuana prohibition so they don't lose their asset forfeitures, drug war grants, and of course, court-coerced rehab patients. We're here practicing a little First Amendment. We've spoken to the sheriff already. You can see his car here. Sheriff Atkins came by to say hi, and was actually quite polite. Really good guy. He said, just want to make sure there wouldn't be any trouble. I told him our people are pretty mellow. We're here in the rental car with the Russ Belville Show mobile setup. Ready to hand out stickers and flyers. And we've got the Yes on 91 banner along the side of the car. This, of course, is Highway 97 North, the main route through this area, so we're bound to get a lot of exposure as people drive by. Most of the time, folks are going to be inside, so I can't get in there, but maybe we'll give that a shot, see if we can get any of the materials or see what's happening. Anyway, thanks for your support, everyone. Couldn't do it without you. Later today, we will be in Kaiser, Oregon, following Kevin Sabet there. That is a public event, so I will be getting into that one. All right, folks, that's all for now. We'll give you more details as they become available here from the Oregon Marijuana Education Tour. I'm Radical Russ. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers. Hi there.
Hi, Russ. My name's Steve LaRue.
Good evening.
I
forgot how cold the central Oregon can be.
It is. That's actually the best. It's actually the one of the best things living here.
Yeah.
Because for me, waking up cold snap is it's real refreshing. Especially since the summer's gonna be so a little bit hot on the hotter side. Gonzaga grad, so I'm a little bit familiar with the Inland Empire.
Right.
Well, anyway.
Thank you. This is nice.
You're welcome.
That's cool. I'll be at the Shell Station in a second.
If you want more, you're welcome to come get one.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll do that. Anyway, that's Jefferson County District Attorney Steve LaRich bringing me coffee and a donut. Very nice. Of course, D.A. LaRich is one of the subjects of my records request. That I've yet to get his records though. Everyone's being really nice to me. I wonder why that is.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Yeah, really, really quick getting me the coffee and the Danish. The records request, still haven't got the records back. Sent those guys $945 a while ago.
I'm sure it's coming.
I'm sure it's coming. Just probably at the very last moment they can send it legally to delay it from getting in the news.
I guess we better vote yes on 91 either way, huh?
Yeah. Hey, let's take a break. It's 420 in Denver. That's a good enough reason for us to take a break.
Hey, everybody. This is Cannibob with another video version of your Roots Monday Toker tune.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. 420radio.org presents the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour with Herb Thrasher and Radical Russ from Portland, Oregon. Herb Thrasher Flower Hour is 2 hours of unrestrained rock, metal, punk, and alt-country music, interviews, concert bootlegs, and sports with America's hardest-rocking marijuana activist stoner, Herb Thrasher. Live 2 hours Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays at 8 and 5 on Fridays and replays Saturday at 8 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, stop one and Madras is done. Let's go off to Kaiser on the marijuana education tour. So this is still the parking lot in Madras, where the DAs were having their full day-long summit on marijuana. See, this was a two-day summit in Madras on drugs and alcohol, where day one was all marijuana, and day two was all the other drugs and alcohol. So in the distance there, Kevin Sabet is coming out of the door in just a second, and will be getting into his rental car to take off for Kaiser, Oregon, which means a drive all the way back to pretty much Portland. You know, you get to the south end of Portland there, and you cut across and then come back down I-5. It's about a four-hour drive, and there he goes in the rental car. A nicer model of rental car than I got, by the way. I got a Nissan Versa. So here we go. Time to pack up. Time to roll.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and non-token lovers of liberty. Radical Russ out here in the middle of gorgeous central Oregon amongst the canyon lands here. Kevin Sabet and Eric Martin have finished their presentation in Madras and have just taken off down the road. We have to go all the way back up through Portland on Highway 26, then south on the I-5 down to Salem. So I got another 4 hours of driving ahead of me. We'll see if we can't pick up Wiz Khalifa or somebody in Portland to accompany me. But the next presentation's at 4 p.m. in Salem, so I got some driving to do. Thanks for your support. Big thanks to Oregrown Inc., Oregrown, the finest dispensary in Bend, Oregon, for sponsoring the rental car, the banner, and helping me with expenses. Appreciate it very much. All right, let's get on the road.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here. We are at the Kaiser Civic Center,
basically the city hall, the police department, and public meeting rooms. We are awaiting the 4 p.m. appearance of Kevin Sabet here to discuss marijuana and youth, and our youth, I should say. So we will get to that coverage here. We are streaming live. You'll be able to see the live stream of this at the rad-r.us/live420. See you inside. Like this. Tax it. What we've seen in Colorado is fewer kids are using now since they've legalized. Crime is down. Tourism's up. They created 18,666 jobs and raised $37.5 million in taxes and licensing.
How long has it been since it's been passed in Colorado?
November 2012. So we've had a full year of legalization experience from 2013 and now 9 months of sales experience in 2014.
But what about the stuff being shipped out of state?
It's been shipped out of state when it's illegal as well. I don't see how legalization changes smuggling. It's still illegal to smuggle.
So what's this talk about today? This guy's here talking.
He's coming in to talk about marijuana and our youth, and to provide what he believes are the effects of marijuana on young people. Okay. I'm here to provide a few other statistics that he won't mention that actually show that the legalization of marijuana is helping young people. Hi, can I interest you in some facts? This is informational. I just wanted to make sure that both sides of the issue were heard. The person who's presenting today is very anti-legalization, and I thought it would be fair to provide a counterpoint and maybe bring up some statistics that he won't bring up. And then,
if I know that old George Bush opened the port of the traffic.
Bill Clinton did as well, too. When NAFTA passed, that was a big problem with NAFTA, is it really opened up the trucking and the smuggling lines for the Mexican drug cartels.
And Bush bought the drug industry in Mexico also.
Yes, indeed.
The Oregon State Sheriff's Association and the Marion Folk Medical Society. Is Shaney here from Marion Folk Medical Society? Yeah, I know she's planning to come. Anyway, we want to acknowledge them. And also, I just do want to point out that the cards at your table and the cheap pens were purchased by me with my credit card yesterday at Walgreens. There's not 1 cent of public money that has gone into this program. So let's see, who is here today?
420 Radio, the act.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients to go to federal prison. On May 30th, she voted against an amendment that would respect Florida's new laws and protect Florida's patients. Even though 88% of Florida voters support medical marijuana, why would Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz vote to send patients like this to prison? Is Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz out of touch with Florida?
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany.
and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past on a Monday, and that means it's time to take your medicine. Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here for our cannabis Q&A. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Woo! Better than last week.
I know. You had some dental work done last week?
I'm afraid I got to go back in the morning. I've got a new appreciation for chronic pain patients, I'll tell you that.
I'll bet you do, man. That's some of the worst pain. It's all that nerve pain, too, which, I mean, there's a question. Nerve pain, dental work, cannabis. What's the deal?
Well, in fact, I can tell you from my own tincture experience that you really, really need it because it just hurts like hell otherwise. And you can only take so much ibuprofen before your gut just wears out. So I really think the most humane thing to do, of course, would be to have this available.
Right on. Well, folks, our phone number's up on the screen, 971-533-7111. If you're listening live and you got a question for Dr. Mitch on cannabis science, culture, history, or health, we can probably answer it for you. But let's get to a few questions I've got built up from last week, and we'll also check our chat room online for their questions. The first one here, I just got done with the news, and in the news, there was this new study out from LA Biomed saying that marijuana helps prevent death for brain trauma patients. Man, this is some really good news.
I mean, I'm to the point now where I feel like basically anybody playing a sport where their head might get injured should have THC handy. I mean, this is astounding data where basically they had folks come in and they either tested positive for THC or didn't after a trauma. We've had brain injury research on animals before to show that THC can really protect against some of the negative consequences of brain injury. But now we've got some really intriguing human data where essentially the folks who had THC in their system when they came in were literally a fourth as likely to die as those who didn't. And I mean, we're talking about the ultimate dependent variable here, mortality.
Yeah, and I would love to see a follow-up on this. Let's see if we can get the grant for Dr. Mitch to do this on former NFL players, because there's been a lot of look at them and their results of traumatic brain injury leading to aggression, suicidal tendencies, early death, dementia, Alzheimer's, and so forth, Parkinson's, all of that. It'd be great to get a look at former NFL players, because there's a large cohort of them, and quiz them on their marijuana use as they had played the game to see if that changed the outcome for them.
I mean, that would be completely delightful. When we start looking at both vascular and Alzheimer's-related dementia in these guys, sometimes in as early as their 50s, which is just frightening, and I think that, you know, anything that can help protect them is bound to be helpful.
Speed Limit in our chat room has a follow-up on that about treating traumatic brain injury over the long term with cannabis. This seems to say, you know, the immediate effect is there, but how about long term?
Unfortunately, we don't even have the animal data on that, so I think it's still a wide open question. But obviously, if this is neuroprotective acutely, if you've got, you know, THC in your system at this time and that actually saves your life, certainly a little extra neuroprotection along the way of recovery would bound to be at best a great thing, and at worst no harm done.
Am I remembering correctly, there was a study that showed the heavy marijuana users through the 60s and 70s, now that they're getting into their later years, are showing less incidence of Alzheimer's?
It's still in that kind of tentative stage. We don't really have a big data set that suggests that's the case. And in fact, the folks who really have those data, it's a lot of times those Scandinavian big samples where there may still be some stigma attached to fessing up to use. So we're just going to have to wait and see.
All right.
Hey, Dr. Mitch, this is Calico. How you doing, my man?
Great, great, great.
Good. So I just had a quick question. I was running a medical marijuana dispensary for a little while, and we had some salve available that was actually made from CBD. So they basically got it from our CBD-heavy RSO that they infused into the salve. I was just curious, like cannabis-infused or, you know, CBD-infused salve, is that just a better route for a lot of people who are looking for any kind of muscle relaxation help with salves?
What's sad is we don't have any data on transdermal, meaning across the skin, transmission with CBD, except for these kind of weird things that kind of prick your skin, like a patch type thing.
Okay.
And so it's hard to really know. But if anybody's, you know, using them and seems to benefit, see if you can try the salve without the CBD and see if it's the same thing, or is it a placebo effect, or what's the story? But transdermal CBD is still kind of a mystery.
Sure, because I was, you know, I've always, like, people who've come in and used THC salves, I've always been kind of, you know, hesitant to really, like, sell them on it, because I kind of feel like a lot of it's a placebo effect. But I was getting a lot of great reactions from CBD, so I was just curious if there was any literature on that. So I definitely know anecdotally that a lot of people are definitely finding a lot of relief from CBD salves, and I definitely think it's
a
smart
idea. I've had a great massage with a cannabinoid-induced oil and was quite impressed myself. There are some anti-inflammatory effects transdermally for cannabidiol, but we've only got those data in mice.
All right. Let's go to another question here about a study that came out over the past couple of weeks. This one, Amanda Ryman sent my way from Drug Policy Alliance, and it was a survey of Californians and their use of medical marijuana that seemingly dispels some of Kevin Sabet's talking points. Can you give us the lowdown on this study?
I mean, if it's the one I'm thinking of, the bottom line is basically 92% of all medical marijuana users say medical marijuana is the bomb.
Yeah.
And it really does address the symptoms that they are using it for. I shouldn't be fainting with surprise on this, but it's kind of reassuring to hear that, yes, in fact, I'm getting relief from the symptoms this medicine is for. And in truth, 92% is about as good as any pharmaceutical drug does. So I'm quite optimistic about that. No, it's not a randomized clinical trial where some folks get placebo and some folks don't, but I think this is the kind of evidence that, you know, should inspire more of those kinds of studies, so we can, you know, point to this and say everything's fine.
All right. Something happening up here in the Great Pacific Northwest got some concern from a couple of my listeners who thought it was kind of creepy at best and big government, big brother at worst. And it was this plan in Spokane, Washington to test sewage to determine the THC levels and consumption in the city. How accurate can they test that as far as like location? Could they pick on like a particular neighborhood and maybe increase the DUI patrols there? And is this a scientific method that's used often to determine, you know, a population's drug use?
What's funny is they've been doing this with pharmaceuticals now for at least the past 7 or 8 years to try to get a feel for just levels of opiate use, and it makes sense that this would get extended to this. Now, most folks' wastewater goes to a single wastewater treatment plant for the whole city, and in fact, often downstream, it's then turned into drinking water, which is something any of us want to think too long about. But the potential to specify a particular neighborhood is still there. And I hate to sound like some paranoid stoner, but the bottom line is they could, in fact, narrow this down depending upon where they took the water source and increase patrols there if they were willing. So I understand people's apprehension about this. In truth, it's just one converging measure, too, because you can imagine, you know, one person using a whole lot could taint the water for a whole neighborhood. And a couple of, you know, very high-use sites could make an entire city look like they've got some kind of heavy use on THC. So it's really just a broad-stroke kind of measure, and in truth, not the kind of thing that's going to address what we really need, which is, are there any cannabis-related problems? And, you know, folks could use THC every single day and not have a problem as far as driving or their social life or their work or anything like that. And so I feel like in some ways this is kind of misplaced.
You know, I would like to declare that Rolla J Studios has been doing its part to definitely raise the levels of the sewage treatment water for the Roseway neighborhood for 2 years now. We do what we can. A follow-up here on the Calico question regarding transdermal applications. And again, we know we don't have a lot of data on this, but have you heard anything about how the different formulations might vary as far as whether it's being formulated as an oil, as a cream, what types of oils they might use? Does that seem to make any difference?
Well, what's sad is that it's still really just in animal work. So they end up doing these transdermal applications that have a lot of what they call permeation enhancers. So there'll be like little prickly parts to it so that there's a chance for it to go across the skin more readily. And it's the kind of stuff that I just don't know if humans are really going to go for. But it is doing the kinds of things that we would hope. So that binge drinking, alcohol-induced neurodegeneration tends to dissipate if you've got this transdermal delivery of cannabidiol. And so I feel like the potential is definitely there. It may not be our standard use of, you know, coconut oil and the best bud we can find. And we're just going to have to see how that works out.
Speed Limit in our chat room wants to note that wouldn't the city's THC sewage samples be skewed if someone were making ice water hash and dumping that water?
and God forbid you threw away all your trim or anything like that. That could completely wreck the whole measure.
Yeah. All right. One last question here. Just wondering if you could give us an update. We told the story of Dr. Sue Sisley, who got the first FDA-approved PTSD and cannabis study for veterans. Looks like she might be heading to University of Nevada, Las Vegas. What can you tell us?
It's a little early to tell, but the fact that they were willing to entertain her, to have her come and give her job talk, for her to explain her research, the federal funding in theory should still be available to her. She was the one who had the grant awarded. And I just love that there is a university willing to do this. She was super careful on this research. I really hope that she can, you know, make it happen. But as you might imagine, you know, basically the board of trustees at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas are probably sitting on this wondering just what all the implications might be.
Hmm. All right. Well, we wish her the best of luck. And folks, if you didn't get a chance to get your question in, or you're just shy and want to keep it private, you can always send your questions to Dr. Mitch through 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. Dr. Mitch, thanks so much for joining us. And we're looking forward to the next 4 weeks before elections of legalization in 3 states, medical in another state. What are you thinking?
I'm really optimistic. This New York Times endorsement today was definitely something that I think should help.
Yeah, big, big news for us. Well, thank you, Dr. Mitch. We'll talk to you next week, and good luck on everything.
Have a great one.
All right, when we come back, we've got my introductory speech at the MS Society of Oregon benefit. It was held last night at the Roseway Theater in Portland, Oregon, and I got to introduce electronic music artist extraordinaire, The Crystal Method. Been a long time since I've been around any Crystal Method. Be back right after this.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now.
Hey there, tokers and tokettes. Radical Russ here.
Herb Thrasher here.
What's up, guys?
We're backstage. It's not backstage. Back parking. Right?
Back parking lot
of the Roseland Theater, getting ready for the Crystal Method. They're doing a benefit for the Multiple Sclerosis Society. We're also going to talk a little bit about the marijuana legalization in 91. Let's step outside for a second, because it's time to step outside for a second. So we'll head on back in just a moment and get ready for the show.
Yeah! So isn't that the coolest thing? We're like, hey, I can go party and I can help people. That's awesome. So give yourself a hand for that. This multiple sclerosis, I don't know if you know this disease or you know people that have been afflicted by it. I know many people who have, some who are in the audience right now. And it's a tough thing. It's painful and it just wrecks your life. And there's this medication that we have that works fantastic. All right, how many people out here, I'm filming y'all, so everybody crowd in tight. Yeah. How many people out here get medical benefit from cannabis? Yeah. How many people just like cannabis? Yeah.
just didn't think, geez, this ought to be legal. Yeah, there's something out there too, man. This is about all of us. And like Herb was saying, this is about freedom. That when we're fighting for this, and we have to understand that not everyone gets this chance. I was just out on the road following around our opponents, the people who want to keep marijuana illegal. And I thought I would bring to you a few of their talking points to help you understand what they think of marijuana. One of the first ones he said, well, you know, they like to say that marijuana is safer than alcohol. That may be true, but all drugs are dangerous. I like to think that alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana are like a jumping off a 10-story building, a 7-story building, or a 3-story building. Yes, I'd rather jump off the 3-story building because it's safer, but it's still not safe to jump off of a building. Okay. Here's another one they explained to me. They talked about using marijuana for 5,000 years, like the Chinese emperors did and the Egyptians used it, but that's not the same as today's marijuana. Yesterday's marijuana, natural marijuana, was 1% THC and had stems and seeds in it. And he shows a picture of some Mexican ripweed. And then next to him he says, man-made marijuana, is up to 37% THC and has hardly any CBD. And I said, and I thought, you say that like it's a bad thing, first of all. But then I also thought, wait a minute, I cover all the High Times cannabis cups, and the highest THC they ever had is 28%. So the federal government really needs to start entering these cannabis cups. They've got 37% THC. And what's this thing about man-made marijuana? They said, well, people have crossbred it to bring out the CBD and they've changed the genetic makeup, essentially making a genetically modified organism. Okay, so if man-made crossbred marijuana is a genetically modified organism and brickweed is natural, that means a wolf is a natural dog, a great dane is a man-made dog, and a pug is a genetically modified organism. Another thing we had to say was, I'm going to put this on the stand. Another thing that we had to say was that the way we treat substance abuse in this country is troubling. We'd never treat cancer this way. We wouldn't have someone who comes in with stage one cancer and then say, oh, you just have stage one cancer. You just go home. Come in when you get stage four cancer. So I thought, well, how many joints do I have to smoke to get to stage one joint addiction? And why does the treatment for that involve putting me in a cage? So these are some of the things, some of the lies that are being spread all across this state. I was in seven cities where this was going on.
Thank you.
And the guy who went and was spreading all these lies got paid $3,000 per city. $21,000 to come to lie to Oregonians. There was a part where they asked in one of the brochures, is marijuana addictive? And they said, yes, marijuana is a lot addictive like cigarettes. Anybody here ever quit smoking cigarettes? Anybody here ever quit smoking weed? Does that compare in any way whatsoever? I've heard of the term Nikki fit. I've never heard of the term THC fit. Now, I know some people that don't get their weed, they're a little grumpy. But that's because they're using marijuana to cure their grumpiness. They also said kicking marijuana has withdrawal symptoms like quitting cigarettes. Really? I've seen people ready to scratch your eyes out for a carton of cigarettes when they're trying to quit. I've seen people buying patches and gums and sprays and inhalers trying to quit cigarettes. People that need to go get a job quit smoking marijuana all the time to pass the weed test. And they asked, is marijuana going to cause lung cancer? And they said, well, no, there's not a definitive link to marijuana causing lung cancer, but some people who smoke marijuana also smoke cigarettes, and that causes lung cancer. Okay, some people
people who smoke marijuana and they also bang their head into a wall and cause hematomas. That doesn't mean cannabis caused it. Well, these are the lies that are being spread. Folks at Measure 91, both yes on 91.com, are working to change that. We're going to legalize marijuana in this state. But we're going to do it with your help. You gotta vote, make sure you're registered. Like I said earlier, make sure you are registered to vote. See if we've got the guys still up here anymore.
This is what happens when the act is scheduled to go on and they're still down in the green room. A little strange. Herb Thrasher was with me there as well. And there was nobody to be found. We were just there on the stage looking for someone along the side, looking for...
Side of the freeway, fly you off the deal, push in the cage. This is not theoretical. This happened to me rewrite the Crop Card. So, they like marijuana being illegal because it's this handy, easy way to mess with you. I can just say that I smell weed, or even better, bring my dog along who's highly trained to do what I tell him, just to alert at a certain spot. You know, I learned an interesting thing about drug dogs, just to take a little aside here. When the military uses drug dogs or bomb-sniffing dogs, you know how they do it? They keep the dog like 20 feet away from the vehicle or whatever it is they want to search, and then they let the dog go find what it smells. They don't walk the dog around what they want to find something in, giving the dog subtle cues to make sure that it pokes that nose at it. They let the dog actually go find the stuff if there's stuff to find. So that's one way, is that it unlocks the Fourth Amendment. It makes it easier to talk to the mission. Here's the other reason they like marijuana to be prohibited more than any other drug. Unlike any other drug, marijuana sticks around. You snort coke, you shoot heroin, you drop acid, you eat mushrooms, you take ecstasy, give me a phone call, let's party. No, wait. But if you do any of those drugs on Friday night and you get called in for the drug test on Monday morning, they're not going to detect anything. You're going to be fine. But if you smoke weed on Saturday night, you're not close. But you smoke weed 2 weeks ago and they can catch you. Boise State lost to an Ole Miss too, man. I feel your pain.
We're getting
bored. I understand. You're getting drunk, sir. I understand. That's not like cannabis. I understand. So I'm going to say, they like it because it can test positive on drug tests. And what the reason they like that positive test, let's say you're at work, you're working at the store, you're working at the office, whatever, you get into an accident. Because you work, they have to pay workers' compensation. But if you test positive on their little P test, they get out and have to pay that workers' compensation. So that's why they like keep marijuana illegal. And it's not going to change anywhere else until it changes on the West Coast. We need to do this in Oregon so they can do it in California, so it can spread all across the country and finally end arresting good people who just use marijuana. All right, so we are going to get this party started because we've got the Crystal Method here, and they're just about ready to get on stage. We just told just a second ago. All right, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together and welcome.
So there we go. There we go. Our Dukes of the show Beagle. With the Crystal Method at the Roseland Theater last night, and it was good, great success. Got to see a lot of activists there. Lindsay Reinhart was there with a crew of folks, and how appropriate Lindsay was there, as it was a benefit for the Multiple Sclerosis Society. Also met Candace, who's the head of the Oregon Multiple Sclerosis Society, and we will be having her on a show soon to discuss the intersection of the MS community with the cannabis community and how we can get more information about cannabis to people with MS and more information about MS to the cannabis community. That's what we're working on here at 420 Radio, bridging the gap between cannabis and the mainstream, bringing it fully into the mainstream. And you can help out. Reach out to the people you know. Let them know you're a cannabis consumer. Let them know that you're a good person. That's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned for hour two. Videos of Marion County District Attorney Walter Beglau, and of course, three videos from Kevin Sabet. For Wiz Calico, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow.